Next, we'll turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah and read from the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 17, reading from verse 1 through verse 14. Jeremiah 17, beginning at verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Here ends the reading of God's Word. And next we'll turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34. It's on page 69 in the Psalter. Lord's Day 34, question 92. Where we read, what is the law of God? And the answer, God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I'll pass on. We read the law this morning, and we'll go through it Sunday by Sunday. But the first commandment we'll consider tonight. I'll move on to question 93. How are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question 94. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, to trust in Him alone with humility and patience, submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question 95. What is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is, instead of, or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you from the Lord's Day 34. And we write above the sermon, no other gods, no other gods. And we speak in the first place about the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. For the basic sentence is, and learn rightly to know the only true God. In the second place, we consider the love for God. And love and fear and glorify Him with my whole heart. And in the third place, we consider the choice for God. So that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. My dear children, for you another time, no other gods, only one. You remember the wonderful confession of Naaman this morning. The only one true God became known to his heart. He felt His power, the healing power in his body, and the saving power in his soul. Only the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No other gods. The knowledge of God, the love for God, and the choice for God. Dear congregation, tonight we come to the goal of our life. In the preceding Lord's days, we were taught about the way to the goal. To come to our goal, we must follow the way. Do you follow the way? Did you follow the way? Did you come to your goal? Don't say now, we come to our goal in heaven. That's one side of the truth. When we are following after the goal for which the Lord created us, we cannot rest and be satisfied till we are perfect. But here, we run the race. And here we follow after. The way to the goal was, you remember, my dear children, to know how great my sin and misery is. And of course, we need our whole life to know that, to be humbled. That's not only the beginning. That's not a lesson we can conclude. Only the hypocrite can do that. But you heard the humble prayer of the prophet Jeremiah. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. We know in part, a little bit only, of the deepness of our sin. The horrible deepness of our sin. When we have grace, we know what is sin. We hate our sin. But the more we grow in grace and decrease in ourselves, the more we know it and hate it. In heaven, we all shall have a perfect hate against sin. When we are in the judgment throne of Christ and judge the world with Him, for that time is coming. That's very clear from our word, that the saints shall judge the world. Do you not know that, writes the apostle, that the saints shall judge the world? And we shall do it with a perfect hate against all what hurted God, because we love Him perfect. It's here beginning, a small beginning, but a true beginning. So the way to heaven, the way to come to our goal, we remember, is in the first place to know our sin. But that can never be enough, of course, always combined with that knowledge, is the knowledge of our redemption, the knowledge of Christ, the love of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, by which we are saved only. To know Him and the power of His resurrection, to be united with Him, to be delivered by Him, to be covered by Him, by His perfect righteousness, to know that the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. And you understand, hopefully, that you need to learn that your whole life. The apostle is writing in Philippians 3, not that he knows Christ, he knows Him, but that he may know Him, and the power of His resurrection being made conformable to His death, to die with Him, our old man crucified, killed, away with Him. That's the life of faith. That's the way to come to our goal, and combined with it, it's always together. Can never be separated. But the goal of it, to please God, to glorify Him as a child who loves Him, who obeys Him, who seeks His glory everywhere and all the time. These people I have created unto me, they shall sing my glory. That's the purpose of human life. The glory of God. And by our fall in Adam, we are quite the opposite. And therefore remember the teaching of our catechism according to Scripture. Except a man be born again, he can even not see the kingdom of God. No one who seeks the Lord from himself. But when the Holy Spirit is coming in us and dwelling in us, growing in us, the new life, we seek His glory. Was it not very clear this morning? Amen. Only the outward seem, what seems to be sinful, he felt, I need forgiveness. It's not to his glory. That sin, everything, praying, Lord, give, reading without real interest, preaching, seeking the favor of man, not the glory of God, it's all sin. The world is full of sin, the church is full of sin, it's sin. Our life is full of sin. And we feel it more and more, see it more and more, when we seek the glory of God. When the holy law is written in our heart. When we have by grace a flesh, heart of flesh. That's the promise, my dear children of the Lord. And remember the Lord all the time at his promise, when you feel that you have a stone heart. You hear the gospel, but you forget it. You know I need it. I need a new heart and a new life. I cannot die. But you want to think about it. You want to pray. You have to study. You want to enjoy your young life. But always hearing, I must die. I must seek the glory of God in everything I do. I don't like that. That's true. We don't like that. Stone heart. Terrible heart. God-hating heart. Every sin is an expression of hate. By every sin we try to crucify Christ. By every sin we call, crucify him. And therefore, when we have a new heart, our heart cries for sin, hates it. Should I not hate, O Lord, which hate thee? I hate them with a perfect hate. Hope you know that hate in your soul. It's a fruit of the love. To love God. To please him. To go his way. To be close to him. That's the desire of the true child of God. And you remember from last week that we considered the question, what are good works? Good in the eyes of the Lord. And the last part of that answer was, they must be according the law of God. And therefore we come now to the third part, thankfulness. How shall we thank the Lord for all his goodness revealed in Christ? How shall we thank the Lord when we are delivered out of so great need and death? How can we thank the Lord when all our sins are done away? How can we thank the Lord enough when we received really peace with him? And when we love him and know him and he is our life, it's only free grace. Well, our whole life must be one song of thankfulness. But it must become clear in our deeds. And therefore the Lord has given us his holy law. Do you love the law? A lot of people don't like the law so much. We may be grateful that in every Sunday morning service the holy law of God is written in our church. I think that's a very useful and blessed custom. And it must have our full attention. For there in that holy law is expressed his will. How to live for him. How to love him. How to obey him. How to glorify him. We must know that, hear that all the time. It must be written in our hearts. My dear children, you know what's the longest psalm in the Bible, isn't it? Psalm 119, it's one glory song upon the law of God. It's one great prayer to understand the law, to do the law, to to follow the word and the law of God. And with the law of God is meant this whole world. For the law of the Ten Commandments is more and more explained and made clear in all the other portions of the Bible. So the life of thankfulness is a life of obedience to the whole word and the whole will of God. Now we consider in the first place the true knowledge of God. For when we follow question 94, then is asked what those God enjoin in the first commandment. And I said that the basic sentence of this portion is, and learn rightly to know the only true God. But this explanation in the first place teaches to flee. To flee and to avoid. So, a true Christian is always fleeing. The old converted people in the Netherlands often said, when you are unconverted, you run after sin. You like it. You don't put the question in all your situations, in your whole life, is it to the glory of God? You want to enjoy your life. And you say, is that sin? Is that not allowed? What a life. But when the law of God is written in your heart, you're seeking His glory. It's quite the opposite. As long as you are unconverted, you follow sin. Your own lust, your own pleasure, your own flesh. And the glory of God is not really important. That's not the question. But when the holy law of God is written in your heart, it's quite the opposite. His glory is number one. And you are fleeing. And you try to avoid everything what is not He. And what is not to His glory. For you seek the Lord. You seek really Him. Do you seek the Lord? My soul thirsts for God, the living God. So a Christian is always fleeing for what he hates. And what must and shall we hate? Idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures. And so sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul. For when we don't avoid and flee, we cannot be saved. When we go in the wrong direction, we cannot end in eternal glory. When you want to go to New York, you must not take the way to Chicago. That everybody can know. Then I don't want to follow the way to heaven. Then I can never come there. The way to heaven is to avoid and to flee everything that's not to the glory of God. Idolatry. And then we can combine that with question 95. What is idolatry? Idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested himself in his word to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. that one true God, who has manifested, made known himself in his word. To have anything or anybody else in which we put our trust. But maybe you say, well, we are brought up with the Bible. We know all that there is only one God. We don't trust in the idols. Every man has by nature one idol, at least. I think much more, but at least one. And that's the most terrible one. The devil said in the beginning, ye shall be as God. I am God. I trust in myself. That's by nature the religion of every man. Also your religion. Don't think at Roman Catholics. Don't think at Muslims now. Discover your own heart. We are by nature all inclined to trust and to build on our own righteousness. And that makes us so proud. Grace teaches us to be the chief of sinners. But who is it? It's easy to say. It's nice to say. But he who here in our midst now feels really, I am the chief of sinners. And then I shall be saved. All the clocks of free grace, said Bunyan, shall sound in heaven that such a sinner, a wretched sinner as I am, is inside heaven. Not understandable, only to admire God for his wonderful grace. Trust in ourselves. We are good men. Trust even in our experiences. That's a great danger in our circles. I've been converted in a powerful way. I had this. I experienced that. I think that in the life of the true people of God, the Lord takes away all that trust. That how precious our experiences can be spiritually, they never can be the foundation of our salvation. And often we lose the sight on it and the power of it. There's only one foundation, Christ. There's only one God in which we must trust. Even not in our conversion, in our knowledge, in our faith. You see it in the lives of the Lord's people, the disciples of Christ. How much they trusted in their own strength, their own faithfulness. And what happened? They left him all. Nothing was left. That was a happy way. Needed. Nothing left. Nothing in myself to trust and to build. Everything is sin. What I see. Only Christ. Only the rock. Given by the Lord himself. Only trusting in the triune God for my salvation. In the electing love of God the Father, in the redeeming love of God the Son, in the sanctifying love of God the Holy Spirit, God the triune God, my only foundation, and everything else is idolatry. To trust, to put your trust in anything else besides that one true God. Sorcery, soothsaying, belongs together. It are the works of darkness. And when we leave the world, and then we leave the influence of the world, then we come in the influence of darkness. And Satan, my young people, has a great might and power. Think about this, that Satan can do great miracles. And that against the time that Jesus is coming, the beast shall do great wonders. So that the whole world shall follow that beast. Sorcery. How is it possible? The tables can dance. The dead people appear very clear for the sight of man. That are the works of darkness. You know that King Saul, in his first time, seemed to be the child of God. And you know that in the course of his life, he had several spiritual experiences. He saw among the prophets, but at the end of his life, he was seeking the Lord for an answer. And he didn't get an answer. And what did he not? What shall a true child of God always do when the Lord doesn't answer? Waiting on him. Empty hands. O Lord, I cannot without thee. Crying to him as long as he answers me. But what did Saul? He went to that bad woman in Endor. Sorcery. He saw Samuel. That's what he thought. It was the devil. It was not Samuel at all. Never think that the devil is mighty, that he can call up Samuel. Samuel was in heaven. Samuel was his God. But what Saul saw was an imagined Samuel. Not the real Samuel. For the works of darkness. And the power of darkness in our time is very big and shall increase. We know it out of the word of God. We must be warned and ready and not being perplexed. Only cleaving to the Lord and his simple, precious word. All superstition, it's written in the stars. The world wants to know the future, isn't it? Go to people with a special gift to explain the future. I should like to know what happens. Lotteries. I want to be rich. I won't take the future in my hands. I want to play with the future. To play with the holy providence of the Lord. Maybe that are the dark ways of Satan, filling the hearts of the people with desire for money. They want to know the future. You can know the future when you follow that way, the way against the Lord. I can tell you your future. Eternal damnation. Eternal fire. Eternal pain. The eternal worm. The eternal warning, opening your conscience. All what you did. Into all eternity accusing you. Oh, what a terrible future. Without Christ. Without God. Feel it. Believe it. Flee the coming wrath. I can tell you your future, children of God. Eternal glory, eternal perfection, eternal love, eternal joy. And when we know that future, we need nothing else. Then we want to live close to the Word. Also, invocation of saints and other creatures. We are not Roman Catholic, we don't pray to the saints. Yeah, that's true. I believe that there is nobody here who prays to the Virgin Mary or prays to the Saint Peter or what saints they have. But don't think that evil is not in your heart. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, do you want to pray for me? Is that not permitted? Oh yes, it's permitted. It's the command of the Lord that we pray for one another. But sometimes I hear something in it which makes me really sad. The thought that when the pastor is praying for me, when that child of God is praying for me, then I have more chance for hearing. That's quite the same. That's quite the same. Not more chance. Of course, we must pray for one another. And we shall. And we have a delight in it. And the Lord used the prayers of His people. But not when it happens in a superstitious way. Not. Never. When we put our trust not in God only. Not when we go through God. Not by the only way. The new and living way of the blood. Only when we trust in our praying high priest at the right hand of the Father. To go to God by Him. That's the only way. Every other way is superstition and invocation of saints or any other creatures. When we know God, we avoid and flee from all these things. But what is it to know God? Or that's taught to us at the other side, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in Him alone. It's hardly to explain. When do you know a person? Then I ask you, do you know Mr. A? Do you know John B? Oh yes, I know him. I often spoke with him. But my friends, you don't know him at all. You know a little bit, a small part. What is it to know? There can never be, and therefore it's combined with our second point to consider, there can never be true knowledge, even not among men, without true love. Without true love. Love, true love, is the key of true knowledge. For love, real love, opens the heart. At the moment that you begin to love people, really, and they can feel it, then they open themselves for you. They trust you, for they feel He loves me. He really seeks the best for me. And so the heart is opened. And you may know their cares, their sorrows, their troubles, everything, their sins even. The more love, the more knowledge. When people feel He doesn't love me, they close themselves. They are nice, they are kind, but they never open the truth. True knowledge can there be only when there is true love. To know the Lord is to love the Lord. By love we know. And the Lord is so beautiful. The Lord is so attractive. Did you see that? Did you see God? Nobody has seen God. The first begotten of the Father has revealed Him to us. But the Lord Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. To know Him,
to see how lovely He is. For people can be beautiful, can be attractive. There can come a deep and beautiful love for people when they find a relation, when they fall in love, then they see the beauty, when they open the hearts for one another and grow to become one more and more. That's one of the most beautiful things of life, isn't it? But when you begin to love God, when you begin to see His beauty, by fall in Adam we lost His image. And by the new birth in Christ Jesus, the second Adam, we receive His image. And the attributes of the Lord are pressed in our soul. God is not a strange God. God is not God far away in heaven only. God is living here. The Holy Spirit makes our body a temple and makes God real and near for us. How can we be filled with His righteousness? And our soul is crying then, O God, when Thou seest my sins, who can stand before Thee? Out of the depth I cry unto Thee. Then we know God in His righteousness. And then the Lord makes Himself known in His mercy, in Christ Jesus, and opens for us His heart. For the Lord opens His heart in His Son. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. There we see God in His heart, in giving His Son, Christ crucified for our sins, God's beloved Son, going down to hell for enemies, the love of God. And when that love fills us and overwhelms us, then we begin to know God in His love. His righteousness is satisfied in the love and the righteousness of Christ. How begin we to admire Him, to love Him, and to praise Him? When we see His wisdom, when we see His greatness, when we feel His might, all the divine attributes are pressed in our soul by the Holy Spirit. So we begin to admire Him, to follow Him, and He surpasses everything and everybody. Nobody and nothing can be compared with God. Do you feel it? Do you see it? It's so personal. For nobody can see you with the eyes of another one. Your eyes must see the King in His beauty. Our eyes have seen the King in His beauty. That's the desire and the fulfilling of the commandment. To learn rightly. It's a process. It's a small beginning here, but a real beginning. All my children shall be taught by the Lord. Are you willing to learn? Is your soul hungry for God, the living God? Is His word precious for you? Oh, God makes Himself known in His word. And therefore you see the followers of the Lord in the Bible, praying and studying at their homes, in the house of God, in the week, as often as we can. We have a delight in the law of God when we follow the Lord in this first commandment and trust in Him only, and with humility and patience submit to Him. What can happen? A lot. What a disasters can happen in our life. See it in the life of Job. You can lose all your properties. You can lose all your children. You can lose your wife. You can lose your health. You can lose your friends. You can feel yourself quite alone left in the world. But you never can lose God. You can never lose His love. You can lose the feeling of his love, but never his love really. We see it all in the life of Job. When he cursed the day of his birth, of course he sinned terribly against the Lord. Then was discovered how deep sin is. There was not a better man in the world than Job. There was not a more pious and God-fearing man in the world than Job. And did you expect that from such a man, that he should curse the day of his birth? That he should have his fists to heaven? Why? That's man.
Wretched man I am. And yet the Lord didn't throw him away. And yet in the darkest moments of his life, the light was shining. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, wonderful is the Lord for his people. But it's a way. Our whole life, we must learn humility, patience, submission. The ways of the Lord are perfect.
I'm not the goal. He is the goal. And when it's more to his glory that happens this, that I lose that.
Do you feel the resistance? It is a struggle also after received grace, isn't it? It's really grace to say, thy will must be done. Thy way is perfect. When the Lord take away you, dear child. When the Lord take away you, dear wife. That's really grace. And then it's proved and visible. But that's the way. Expect all good things from him only. Oh, the Lord uses people, of course, to bring the good things on your life. But don't trust in them and give not them glory, for all that they do, they receive it from the Lord. He is the source and the fountain of all good things, of all love. And he works by people. Indeed, he blessed by people. And that's a blessing, that we feel the unity in the love of God. When we try to be a blessing for one another, that's a desire of the new life, of course. But when we begin to praise people, that's such a nice man. That's such a nice preacher. Oh, what a man. No. Oh, what a God. And when you praise the man, you dishonor the giver. You dishonor God. And man by nature, even preachers like it to be praised. Our flesh like that. And therefore people who praise us are dangerous for us. People who pray for us. And people who do what the Apostle Paul experienced. He said, and they glorified God in me. They saw Paul, his gifts, the blessings they received. But behind Paul, above Paul, they saw God. It's only his gift. That little man has nothing in himself. He all receives it from the Lord to share it with us. But God is the giver. All praises for him. They glorified God in me. So, the keeping of the first commandment is to know the Lord. And we need eternity. And in the second place, I considered several things of it. It's to love him. Love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart. My whole heart. That makes the eternal difference. You can never serve the Lord and love the Lord with a divided heart. The Lord doesn't want a part of your heart. He says also tonight, my young people, my son and daughters are included, give me your heart, your whole life. Are you willing to give it? Are you crying, my young people? Oh Lord, take my heart. I'm not willing. I love sin, I love the world, I love myself, I love my youth. But I don't love thee. I want to heaven, of course. But I don't know the way to heaven.
The way to heaven is to give the Lord your whole heart, your whole love. He number one, more than yourself, more than your girlfriend or your friend, more than anybody else. And then the children of God fall in idolatry. What's the Lord doing in His grace then? He take away their idols. Oh, Jacob, a number of years his heart was crying for Joseph. Joseph, Joseph. And then the Lord took away Benjamin. And now he had nobody, nobody else. But the Lord, that's the way of the Lord, to cut off all our idolatry, to cut off all our fleshly lusts and desires, so that it shall be the Lord only, His love. To know Him, I said, is to love Him in His attributes and in His Trinity. It's true, the word Trinity you don't find in the Bible. But at the other hand, it's perfect true that it's from the Bible clear that there are three persons in God. And these three, read it in 1 John 5, are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father who represents the judge. I have sinned. I shall stand up and go to my Father. The Son who represents the love, the mercy. Christ died for us. And He is the only and fresh and living way to the Father. Nobody can come unto the Father except by me. And that's very important, that we know God as our judge, that we know Christ and love Him as our way, and that we are guided to go that way and to know God by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and unites our hearts with Christ. And is in us the spirit of adoption, by which we call Abba, Father. And so share in the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And love Him, O Father, I love Thee. O blessed Savior, I love Thee. O blessed Holy Spirit, I love Thee so much. Do you say that? I was quite impressed long ago by an old preacher of 90 years old, that he was fresh and green to glorify God. And then he often said, do you say to the Lord often, Lord, I love Thee so much. I love Thee so much. That's the heart, that's simple, even for children. Lord, I love Thee so much. To love the Lord. And what is love? I cannot explain. You must feel it. The love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It has been given to us. By which we love Him. By which we love Him the most. By which nobody else can be compared with Him. And that makes easy to make the good choice. For we have to choose. So that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Every deed, every thought is a choice. We are choosing our whole life and every day. Sometimes it can be so difficult. I had a lot of talks with inmates. But this week also about this point. He loves a girl. And he says he loves the Lord. I don't judge the heart. But he confessed he loved the Lord. And had a full desire to follow the Lord. And I said, your girlfriend. Yeah, when we come free, then she wants to do things which I cannot do any longer. I want to wait till we are married. That's nice. And see. Yeah, that's the problem. See, probably not. But can you love and live as a person who is constantly a temptation for you? You must make a choice. When you find your partner of life, you think, and you love her or him so much, but you cannot be one, fleshly one, but not one in the Lord. You must make a choice. The Lord, or... But not only in this case, there are numbers of cases. All what we do is a choice. Is it the desire of our heart to do the things for the Lord? To eat to His glory? To entertain to His glory? To see programs to His glory? To read books to His glory? To see company to His glory? To see a partner, to seek a partner for life to His glory? Is that a burden? Or is that a pleasure? That makes the choice. For when it is a burden, it has no real value. It's not the fear of the Lord. Then it's the fear of a slave. But when you love Him so much, by that love you make the choice. Love make the choice. I want to see her. I have no time, but I make time. For I love her so much, I want to see her in half an hour. I drive for it an hour, 2 hours, for I want to see her. I love her so much. And a friend is calling you. Can we have a meeting? Oh no, I have no time. I have no time. You have time. You are busy. But you make a choice. And you make a choice not for your friend, but for your work. But when your girlfriend is calling, and she asks, do you come? Yes, I come. You make a choice. Not for your work, but for your girlfriend. For you love her so much. You make the choice for your God. For God. I love Him so much. I make time. For all time I have is from Him. That's a choice of the heart and life. Renounce and forsake all creatures. My right hand cut off. My right eye drawn out. That's hard for the flesh, but it's needed. And when we are not willing to do it, the Lord shall do it in the life of His people. To cut off. The Lord is a jealous God. He wants to have you alone. And when it's right with you, it's that a desire of your soul. No idols. Not anybody else. Whom have I in the heavens high, but Thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire, besides Thee, there is none. Be honest. Do you say Amen? That's true. That's sure. That's the deepest desire, by grace, of my life. To belong to Him. To know Him, to love Him, to choose for Him, to be with Him. For here it's a small part, but a true part, where the future shall be glorious. When we lay down this sinful body, when we come out of our grave, glorified with Christ, then our soul and body shall be united, and then we shall love Him and know Him and praise Him with all the saints together united in one desire, that my whole heart and being shall praise the Lord to all eternity. That's the future of every true believer. Amen.
Let us pray and thank now. O gracious and merciful God, we have no words to speak out Thy greatness, Thy love, Thy mercy, but give us all the grace, the hunger, to know Thee, to belong to Thee, to live in Thee and with Thee, and to be made ready for perfect knowledge, perfect love and praise. Lord, breathe in us by Thy Holy Spirit every day, every moment. Be with us, O Lord, when we leave this place, that the word may stay and bear fruit in our hearts, and give us grace to meet one another at Thy time. Bless us and bless the congregation. Be with us when we travel. O Lord, how do we need Thy guidance? Lord, be merciful upon us. Pardon our sins and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.